wheel. You know I want to be ready to meet him
by and by. You know I want
to be ready to meet him in the sky.
You know I want to be more like him and do his best command.
For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. Yes, yeah, you enjoying this cool weather? Some of you still got your coats on. That's all right. That's all right. I wanted to keep mine on too this morning. But God is good. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning, especially if you're visiting. You are honored guests, and our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service, those that's watching by way of television. By the way, for the church to know, most of the time, those that's watching by television, we tape our worship service, and the audience, our television audience, is actually watching a pre-taped message. Most of the time, it's like a 2 weeks lead time, sometimes maybe a week, but our live stream is live, and so we have many who are at home or in the hospitals, and we hear from our members, many of our members who are here in the city who are shut in, and so don't take for granted when the Lord bless you to be in the worship service. There are many who wish they could be here this morning, and don't we want to let them know that we're praying for you, yes, and we're praying for your health. For the caregivers, for those of you that we know would be here, may God bless you and keep you and help you to get back as soon as you possibly can. And so if you're here and you're watching today and you call a number on your screen, especially if you're watching by way of television, someone will answer the phones and pray with you and minister to you and answer any questions that you may have. But I just wanted the church to know that, because one day you might be sitting at home. And you want somebody to pray for you, somebody to at least acknowledge you, and we love you, but we love to have you in the place as soon as possible. May God bless us all this morning. Just good to be with Christians. It's good to be with the saints this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. You might well be happy while you're here today. You don't come in here. Don't come in here. Leave the bills. Leave whatever. They still will be there when you get out of here. Yeah, you need to relieve yourselves. Yeah, but and see, worship is a time that we glorify and thank God. Yes. We thank God for His goodness, for our health, for our strength. We thank God that we're in the body of Christ, as dysfunctional as all of our family, our earthly families are. As dysfunctional as they are, God is still good. And God wants us to be in His family. Now, His family, we got families in the church. We have dysfunctions in the church, but God is our head. That's the difference. And God, His Son, is perfect. And He can answer all of our prayers, even at the same time. So you might well leave what you got outside and worship and clear your minds this morning. I want to lift up a word this morning. This word has been coming up over and over again as I read, as I study. And some words, you know, when you come across a word, you're reading the Bible and you don't know quite the meaning of it, of the background of the word. Look it up. Go to your Bible dictionaries. Go to Smith Bible Dictionary, a Strong Bible Dictionary, and at least look up the definition of the word. And I want to lift up a word this morning, and the word, everybody say after me, nevertheless. This is a powerful word in the Bible. It's a powerful word. I know time won't do me, I won't be able to do justice to all of the background of this word, but it's found in the New American Standard Translation 71 times. And it comes up again, and it's found in the King James Version 97 times. And I was actually studying for something else, another lesson, and I came across the word four or five times in different texts, and then I started a study on the word, and I was profoundly touched by it, because each time I read the word, a powerful lesson came out of every circumstance. It's the word, the meaning of it is in spite of. When you see the word, word, word nevertheless, the actual meaning of is in spite of. It's used when saying something, that contrasts something that has already, has just been said, or has just been demonstrated, or that you have just seen. It's a reaction. The word nevertheless is a reaction. The reaction or action when you see the word is when you say nevertheless is to either disregard, to dismiss, and often is to do the opposite of what you just heard, what you just saw, or what you just read. I know you're not with me yet. But you stay with this, or what you just read. For instance, if I made the sense Marvin is the only person in his family who has in his family, no one has ever graduated from high school in his family. The odds are stacked up against Marvin. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that his circumstances, his situation are grim, in spite of the fact that no one, nevertheless, Marvin was committed to getting a higher education in spite of the circumstance. There are all kind of instances in the Bible. Go if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, which the brother read in your hearing. Somebody go, nevertheless, we're going to find. See, it's a word that reveals character. It reveals the character of the individual. And in each instance that is used, is not always, don't mean that you got a great character. It might mean that we have some serious flaws in our character. Listen to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and verse number 27. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us." This is Moses. Moses, after they had gotten close to the promised land, and he assigns 12 individuals of each tribe to go spy out the land. And those of you that know your Bible history, you know that the land was already promised to the children of Israel. God made the promise. And you know when God makes a promise, you can put it in the bank, right? Amen. Yeah, do we know that? See, God made the promise. The land was theirs. But, you know, sometimes we just don't believe God. And we don't think God is good for his word. And Moses just, he wanted the men to go and spy out the land, just to check it out, to see where everything was, what was good there, just to tell us something about the people there. And so the victory was already theirs, but he wanted the men to go and spy out to bring some information because they'd never been there before. And 10 spies went. Listen, it says, thus they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey." Yeah, God already told him that with the land is going to flow with milk and honey, and it's going to be yours. And this is the fruit of it. They grabbed some fruit, some grapes, and they grabbed some fruit, and the fruit was so big on the vine, and the people saw the fruit and got all excited. But then the Bible says in verse number 28, nevertheless, in spite of seeing all of this, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, that we saw giants in the land. Now, look, God had already promised them the land. So, church, I just want to ask you a question. Was the land theirs? The land was theirs. Nevertheless, in spite of all of this wonderful evidence, these individuals brought back an evil report. It revealed their faith. It revealed that really, and these are individuals that had already seen a number of miracles God had already performed. They had seen God dry up the Red Sea. They'd seen God have a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them through the land. They saw God destroy all of Pharaoh's army. Nevertheless, in spite of all, I hope we don't have some nevertheless moments like that. Has God been good to you? Yeah, God, you know, and sometimes we don't know how to even, sometimes blessings are right in our face and we know we had nothing to do with it. And we still doubt God. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, I thought about that. I said, you know, that sounds like me in some occasions. Sometimes we can be so strong, but Lord, have mercy. Sometimes we can be so weak, so weak. But 10 spies went, and they brought back an evil report. And it's amazing how some people can hear the same news, the same message. Some people can see the same thing, yet you have totally two different responses to seeing the same thing. Amen, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. In our families, in the Lord's church, we hear the word of God. We see the word of God. We see God moving. And some of us, our faith is strong, and some of us, our faith just like we haven't heard nothing. Yeah, listen to this in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. I mean, this is Caleb, if you will. Joshua was also one of the spies. But this is Caleb talking, and he says this in Joshua 14, verse 7. He was one of the spies. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Listen to this in verse 8. Nevertheless, in spite of that, and then he just, what it was, to see down, the 10 spies gave their report first to the people. And they made the people weep, and they made them, Lord have mercy, we're going to get killed when we go there. And Caleb was there listening, and he said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people fear, melt with fear. But I, everybody say, but I. But I followed the Lord my God fully. That's what Caleb said. He said, I followed the Lord of my God fully. And you know what? That says a lot to us. Because I don't know why. You know, you say, well, why does it seem like some people, why do some people seem like they have a lot of faith and some people don't have no faith? You know, I don't know the answer to that question. You know what? And I stopped trying to answer that question. I stopped trying to answer the question. Why in a house you can raise children and teach all of them the same thing, and some of them hard-headed, and some of them are listening to you? Somebody please give me the answer to that one. If you got it. Would you tell me why? And you know what? And sometimes we psychoanalyze it. Sometimes we watch Dr. Phil and we watch Oprah and we read all kind of books. And sometimes we say, well, he's hypo. Well, he's something wrong with it. We try to make all kinds. But when it boils down to it, we all got to stand on our own bottoms. Yeah. And sometimes we just got to stop making excuses for folk. And those of us as men of God, as women of God who teach the word of God, we teach the word and folk hear it, and we have to respond. Those who respond with faith, God gonna bless you. And that's all that Joshua, Caleb was there. He saw the same land. He saw the same fruit. And he brought back a good report and said, this land is ours, people. Yes, yes, yes. Lord have mercy. That's amazing. That just always amazed me how we can hear the same thing. And Caleb said he served God. Our theme for all of this year is to love God with some of our heart. I'm glad you're listening this morning. No, God don't want some of nothing. God want all of that. There's a song that what's the singer sing? All of me wants. Oh, what's John Legend? John Legend sing that song. Come on, my wife said, oh, let me be quiet, be quiet. Yeah, she said, that's me. She said, that's me, that's me. Then she said, is that you? Come on, baby. Yeah. God wants all our heart. Yeah. Well, listen. You know, when we give all, see, and the thing about it, when we give God all of our hearts, See, and sometimes we want to be stingy because we're looking out for ourselves, and we think we're going to miss out on something. But you underestimating the power of God. We quote the verse all the time, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. Seek God's way, God's will. Your children will be blessed. Your wife, your husband, your house, your business will get right. I'm starting this business and it's just taking up so much time and I just don't have time for nothing. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I'm just trying to, bro, Gary, I'm grinding. Lord, pray for you. Yeah, we're going to pray for you, brother. Because some of us, we've tried that. It just seems like we open one door and another door closes. Yeah. And see, we trying to do it without God. Lord, have mercy. Listen, that's so many examples. I wish I had time to read all of the nevertheless scriptures in the Bible. Listen to this one in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10. Everybody's all right? God is good. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who asked of him a king. This is Old Testament. And the people were just getting so restless because God was speaking through the prophet, but the children of Israel had no king. But do we have a king? God is our king. God was their king. All the nations around them had kings, and they were looking at all these nations with all of these kings. They went, we want a king. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 11. He said, he spoke to all the words of the people who asked him a king. You want a king? He said, this will be the procedure. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. The procedure of the king who will reign over. Since you want a king, and you bugging me about a king, and you're bugging God about a king, he said, this is what's going to happen. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariot. Now, I don't have time to read all of what Samuel told him. Drop down to verse 14. That's verse 11. Verse 4. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. Now, this is what Samuel told them. They still didn't have a king. And Samuel was he's telling them, listen, let me tell you what's going to happen when you get a king. This is what the king is going to do. This is what he's going to do for you. This is what he's going to do, a commitment demand of you. He said, do you hear me? You asking for a king? Do you really want a king? And then listen to verse number 18, verse 8. Then you will cry out in that day, because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. And so God was God sent through the Holy Spirit, Samuel was trying to communicate to him and say, you really don't want a king. I'm just trying to tell you, listen, y'all think you want everything that's green on the other side. You don't want. Have you ever preached a sermon to somebody? Have you ever taught? Have you ever tried to convince somebody? Look, baby, sweetheart, sugar, honey, please listen to me, baby. This ain't the man you need to be. And I know, now be careful. We got to be careful how we counsel. You don't need to get in everybody's business. But you know what? Sometimes we know things. You know, when you know what you... some things, you know, I can... It don't take me long, as a daddy, you know, you see your girls or you see your boys and they getting old enough and they start dating and they come home or they with somebody and you looking at them and you checking them out and you know they not the one. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But it's amazing how blind some folk are. Now, I mentioned young folk, but you know what had happened to old people too? It happened to old folk too. And you try to just give them some, and I'm not talking about nosy folk trying to get in your business. I'm talking about people that love you, that love you for who you are, and you try to warn them, and you try to give them some good counsel. Nevertheless, in spite of, listen to what the Bible says in verse 19. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. The Bible says, nevertheless, in spite of all of this wise counsel. Now, not only was it wise, it was prophetic counsel. What do you mean, Brother Gary? It came from God. The Word of God speaks to us. Somebody need to hear this right now. There are some things that are so crystal clear in the Bible, and you cannot deny it. But in spite of knowing all of that, in spite of the truth staring you right in the face, nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. And then all of the words come from our mouths, and they said no. They said absolutely no. But there shall be a king. We still want a king. They ain't hear nothing Samuel said. I mean, please help me understand. And I know we've all been there ourselves before. We are too judgmental on folk, you know, because sometimes these are the answers we get. Well, you know what? I just have to do things. That's your life. That's your opinion. And you know, I have to live my own life, and I have to do things the way I feel like I need to do them. Lord, have mercy. Whole thing. It's sad, isn't it? Because you know what road they're going down, don't you? Yeah, and you know, but sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we just, where we are, places in our lives, sometimes it's because we're young. Sometimes it's because we're lonely. Sometimes it's just, we just have gotten deaf. You know, sometimes we say, you know what, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I don't care what nobody say. Yeah. But you know one thing I found out? This is what I found out. You know, sometimes you can be hard-headed. You can make them statements like, you know what, I ain't care. I ain't listening to nobody. And you see, but when you say that, you're saying in your mind, well, you know what, I know how I feel right now, and it can't get no worse. That we convince ourselves that you know what, I don't care. This is what I want right now. But don't say it can't get no worse. Because some of us can testify. That it can. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, the loneliest person in the world, you will hear the words echo from them when they get in a situation. They say, look, you know what? I don't need nobody if it's this bad. And I'm not talking about just marriage. I'm not talking about just relationships. I'm talking about decisions we make on different areas. See, there's some folks that I do not need to be in business with. Period. I don't care how much, but we're Gary, he got the money. I don't care how much money he has. He'll lead your soul straight to hell. The Bible says, listen, verse 20. Listen there, excuse me. No, but there shall be a king over, verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight us. He said, look, we want a king just like everybody else. Because we want somebody to represent us. And they just looking at the fanfare. They looking at the pomp and circumstance. Woo, they got a king. Look at how he dressed. And he owns all of you. Oh, nevertheless. Listen to this passage. Listen to this passage. I'm going to stop on time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy 2, 16. Paul writing to young Timothy, the preacher, the word of God. And he's giving him some counsel. He giving him some counsel. He giving him the word of God. But shun profane. King James translation would say shun worldly and vain babblings, or empty chatter, if you will. He says, Timothy, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's what he tells Timothy and tells us. Listen to what he says. And that word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus. He gives some examples of individuals who've fallen in this trap. And Philetus, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He says, Timothy, listen, preacher, listen, you stay away from empty words. You stay away from vain, from empty chatter, from worldly expressions and philosophies of men. Stay away from that stuff. It's because it just grows and it just creates more ungodliness. Some folk will say all kinds of things. The resurrection is already past. And a lot of folks will follow that foolishness, Timothy. And then he says in verse number 19, I want you to say it with me, nevertheless. In spite of all of these untruths, all of these philosophies, all of these worldly doctrine, he says, the foundation of God standeth sure. Yeah, God's word haven't changed. You know what? It has not changed, and it's not going to ever change. See, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I'm reading from the King James translation here. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yeah, that word nevertheless, see, there are some things we're going to have to hold on to in spite of the fact that there are different teachings on different things, and some of them sound kind of good. Some of them sound intriguing because they come from who we look at as intellectuals and those who are smart. You know, I was talking to a gentleman, sometimes people start talking that philosophic talk, and he asked me some questions. I might have mentioned this before. He said, "Well, Gary," he said, "you know, he didn't want to be rude because he knows I'm a preacher, and he stopped associating with any church or any religion because of negative things he's seen, and that sometimes happens. Sometimes people see preachers and those who go to church and attend churches, he calls them brainwashed. He says, you know, he said, you were brought up in, some of you all just brainwashed. And I said, okay. And, you know, I try not to get mean with folk, you know, because most time you argue with folk, you're not going to convince anybody anything. And I didn't want to go there with him yet, you know, the first time. And I said, okay, brainwash. And I started asking, who brainwashed you? No, I'm not going to ask him that. And he asked me a question. He said, do you believe in other worlds, you know, other existence? Do you believe that we're the only people on earth, and you believe in other, he said, the universe, all the stars. He said, you know, I studied the stars. He was telling about he studied the stars. I studied, he said, me, you got the universe, you got all the stuff. Okay. I said, you believe that it's people? He said, oh yeah, it's some folk up there. I said, okay, all right. And I asked him, I said, what are you basing that on? He said, well, you know, it's just common sense. I said, okay. And I know it may be kind of comical to some. But there's some folk in here who've been exposed to, and folk will confuse you. And he said, "Well, you ask me." And then I had to have another conversation. But I want you to listen. You know what the Word of God says about that question? Turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Open your Bibles, or maybe they'll put it up on the screen. Listen to this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is what I believe. Says, for by him all things were created. This is what the scripture teaches. Young people, you need to hear this. Both in the heavens and on earth. Now, let me ask you a question. What does all mean to you? All means everything. Everything that's ever been created in heaven and on earth. Listen to what else the scripture. He says, invisible, and that's what he was trying to tell you. He said, you know, see, that's like that. You look up in the sky, and there are things you can't even see. I started telling him, I know that. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, here it is again, all things have been created through him and for him. Amen, somebody. So whatever is up there, whatever is out there, even if we haven't identified who it is, what it is, God made it. Amen. So, yeah, what are you saying, brother? Avoid, he says, Timothy, stay away from all of that foolishness. Because all it does is raise even my oldest daughter. She called me. She said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. She said, Daddy, do you know what the Illuminati is? Now, raise your hand in here if you've ever heard of the Illuminati. Raise your hand. Oh, you know too, huh? You've been on the internet too. And she said, Daddy, I'm telling you, Daddy, you need to know about the Illuminati. And you know what I've done? Of course, they've been made movies and things and exposed things. And she was just she started telling me, she said, Daddy, you got to know what's out there. You preaching the word. You got to know what's out there. And I said, do you believe in the Illuminati? I'm not saying that. But I don't know, Daddy. It's mighty convincing. Let me just, I don't want to give you too much because I don't want to see. And I said, where you get all this from? Daddy, it's on the internet. Ooh, I said, girl, get off that internet. But not everything. The internet is not bad all in of itself. A lot of good things on the internet. But you got to qualify. See, the Illuminati is supposedly, just kind of in a nutshell, they it's an elite group. They say it's a private board of elite, and their goal is to take control of everything, and they are to influence. They're trying to bring about what's called a new world order, and it's controlled by a few people, powerful folk in high in politics. Folk in entertainment, folk that have money, and only way you can get into the inner circles is you got to have some power, you got to have some money, and it's a brainwashing system that through mass media, through entertainment, through movies, through banks, through philosophy, through the press, through politics, they are slowly influencing folk over to their way of thinking, but it's controlled by just a few folk. And I say, even if that is true, and I think already right now in the world today that, you know, you got a folk with a whole lot of money who trying to control everything. Amen. Amen. But who, if it is true that folk, it's something that's been going on throughout the ages, throughout all the universe. And it is simply, and see, one thing she was telling me, she said, Daddy, and they denounce God. They don't have no respect for God. I said, if they don't respect God, I know what's going to happen to them. The same thing that's happened to all of the false prophets and the naysayers and those who would deny the deity of Christ, God is going to bring them down. And why are you saying all of that, Brother Gary? Because. In this world, we're going to have all kinds of challenges, all kinds of things. But nevertheless, in spite of who, I don't care who is at the top. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. It stands sure. And I was having this conversation with the gentleman, he don't believe in the Bible. When a person don't believe in the word of God, it's hard to, my small brain can't get through. But let me admonish you before my time is up. Let me admonish you. See, that's why we cannot play games with our lives. And we need to be very careful of who we allow in our minds. We need to be very careful of the things that we watch and the things that we do, because there are some things that we're going to have to overcome the naysayers as Caleb and Joshua had to do, because we can all see the same thing and come up with different opinions of what we have seen. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Can I ask a question? Do you believe God is good?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God will take care of all of his children? See, in our families, in your own family, you have naysayers in your family. You have those, some of us individuals, we didn't grow up in the Lord's church. We didn't grow up in the Church of Christ. We grew up with people that believe all kinds of things. Nevertheless, in spite of that fact, you still can choose God for yourself. You know, when I'm at meetings and I'm talking in different places, I'm hearing things that's going on around the brotherhood and even in metropolitan major cities. Often many of the churches now, you know, I can't speak for all of them because I don't know everything that's going on in the congregations, but it seems like many of us are giving in to the world. When I say that, when I say giving in, to me, in a metropolitan city, for years we've had, you know, morning service and we have evening service. But because of the distractions in the world, because of all of the things that we're competing with, and because folk now, they put their worldly things over spiritual things, many of our churches are closing their doors after 2:00. I'm not talking about out in the country. I'm not talking about out in places where you know, there's only a few people meeting. I mean, maybe just in a city, you realize we have almost 6 million people that live in this Houston area? And so I say, why are you saying that, Brother Gary? Because many of them are closing the door. I'm not saying that you have to go to morning service and evening service or that, because there's not a reference in the Bible that tells us we have to necessarily be at both services. But we create an atmosphere where we worship in God. We've always done it in the past because there are individuals who work, there are individuals who can't be here in the morning, and then you're closing your doors in the evening. And I'm saying to you that though that's happening all over the city, though that's happening in other places, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, nevertheless, in spite of all of that, we're going to keep our doors open. Amen. For folk, because we are committed to provide every opportunity for the children of God to grow in the Lord. And we're not going to use that excuse. I ask people, well, what you doing in the evening anyway?
Yes, sir.
And some may say, well, that's not necessary, but this is a battle that we are in. And we are fighting for our souls. We're fighting for our children's lives. We're fighting to make heaven our home. Amen. And we're going to have to do it in spite of. In spite of the things that we're introduced to, in spite of the things that are going on out in the world. You're here today and you're not a child of God. Oh, you need to be. You got some challenges? Welcome to the club. Amen. We all got some challenges, don't we? Yeah, it's through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. The word of God will encourage you. Throughout the Bible, it wasn't the numbers all the time. It wasn't what was popular all the time. Some of you had some challenges even this. Well, you know, one sister, she's not here right now. One sister told me, when she said, "Brother Gary," she said, "pray for me." I said, "Yes, I'm so sorry." She said, "I'm battling." She said, "In my house," she said, "I'm battling all kind of demons." And she shared a couple of things that's going, and I almost, you hear some things and you almost feel ashamed that you make excuses for little things in your life. Some of us, we don't realize how good we have it. Now, raise your hand in here if you got two cars, raise your hand if you got two cars. Now, I know you don't even want to raise your hand now, do you? Yeah. And I surely don't want to say raise your hand if you got 3 cars. Yeah, 3 cars. Yeah. And I almost want to ask the question, to raise your hand if you don't have a car. Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Some of us don't even know how that feels. Yeah. Some of us get up in the morning and say, am I going to drive this one? I'm going to drive that one. And this sister said, she said, but I'm not going to let that keep me from serving. Then she said, my God. Amen. Yeah. You know, you do have to claim we serve God, but is he your God? Yeah. She said, I'm determined that I'm not going. I could just hear her. Nevertheless, in spite of. Yeah. If heaven going to be our home. And some of us in here, oh, I got to stop at 9 o'clock. I got 2 minutes. See. Some of us have personal struggles. Personal struggles. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't fall into one of the devil's schemes where we see something. The devil wants you to feel so sorry for yourself that you just give up. And see, I've been struggling and I keep falling and I keep falling. See, listen to God. God says, keep getting up. Yeah, it's a struggle, but do you want to hear all of our struggles? Do you want one by one for me to go down each row and to testify as to what our personal struggles are? Nevertheless, you got the victory this morning because you're here. Because you're watching this morning. If you're here, you're not a child of God, you need to. It's where your protection is. It's to say, never stop worshiping God. Never stop serving God. Never stop praying to God. Because he is able. Okay, what you going through this morning? God is good. And don't let people stop you. Don't let people stop you. You're here today, you need to be a child of God. You come by faith like all of us, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you are willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God going to take care of you. He'll add you to his body, to his church. And we're just going to stay with God despite the odds, despite the trials. We're going to stay with God until we die. You here? You need to come. Won't you come? You here and you need the church to pray for you. We'll pray for you this morning as we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home,
home,
come home. Tender, Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you? For me, why should we linger and heed not?